Hello, and welcome to Pro U Podcast, episode number 361, Staying in the Moment. Now, I'm understanding, embracing, acknowledging that that's somewhat repetitive from being present, but it's kind of what's happening, and it's another way of saying it. And you know, when I'm talking to someone, they'll bring up a term or something that they read or a story that really resonated with them. And that's happened to me. You know, I've just heard a person write something in a certain way that just really, really hit home with me. And I'm like, oh, and it might be, you know, fairly similar to what someone else has said. So that's what I'm saying. Just the little different verbiage might make it happen. But it was literally what I was doing. And in the episode you hear, I woke up and there's a couple things in my mind. And I was like, do this, do that, don't do this. And I was just, I just didn't want that. Because now I feel like I'm vibrating a little bit above that. So when it happens, I'm like, I don't need to answer any questions. I just need to get rid of those questions. And I turned to Zen, which I already started taking notes. As soon as I was done, just more and more came to mind about Zen. But I was like, he was just all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed right when this, like, our morning activity was kind of done. And I was going to sit down and start. And he wanted to play, and I said, okay. And that was the moment. It's like everything switched. I went, what does Zen want? And my mind cleared. My mind calmed, the conversation was gone, the questions were gone, and I just played with Zen. And Zen's got this thing where he plays with me, and then he stops playing with me, and he continues to chew on the Frisbee or whatever toy it is. But I have to be next to him, because if I get up and walk away, he'll stop. So I just hung out till he was done playing. And I went on with the podcast and, you know, kind of shared all the events that were happening, and more and more kind of came to mind as I was, you know, making notes beforehand. And it, like, this moment just filled up, and I'm like, oh, now I know what I'm going to say. And it was just staying in the moment really created this episode. And then I just wanted to add, I really just continued that. I was, you know, contemplating maybe going to the beach or not, and I was just moment to moment, and I got done playing with Zen, I got done doing the podcast, and everything just felt good now, because I was just staying in the moment, moment by moment. And that was the task, because I had a bunch of things, errands, to-do lists, questions, and I went, I need to stay in the moment. That is my goal. And I was able to do that. I wanted to add that in the intro. I was able to do that the entire day. I was like calm. I got laundry done. We just stayed home. I was a little creative. I made a little phone art project. But this quote, I just love this. It's from a quote. But it was just said, sitting in the fullness of the emptiness and the vastness of the silence. Like it said, you know, sit in the old and the known and the familiar. Like if you just sat in your house and you just looked around. I mean, maybe you're not in your house, but I mean, if I just sat here and just went piece by piece, looking around, going, oh, I remember making that. Oh, I remember taking that picture. You know, and just looked at everything I had in the Zen garden. And I didn't try to fill that time with anything else. I just sat in the familiar. My home, Zen's home, my place, my sanctuary, you know, just sit there and feel the fullness of the emptiness. It was also quiet the entire day, and the vastness of the silence. And when I'm like, okay, I gotta do things today, I gotta open day, that's like a very old voice. But now the voice that I want to come in with, you have an open day. Just remember, time does not always have to be filled. you can stay in the moment and do that moment by moment throughout that day. And it was just this solid day, and I just felt good, and not what I accomplished or what I did or didn't do. It was just that decision early on in the AM to go, I'm going to stay in the moment. Let me focus on Zen. And having a dog definitely helps. Having a superior, majestic, spiritual being sent from heaven helps a little bit more. Thank you, thank you, thank you for listening. I hope you are navigating your path, deeming yourself worthy, and becoming a little bit better you every day. Enjoy. Hello, it's me. Shocker, huh? So I woke this morning determined, it's Sunday, to walk, run Zen. Well, I guess Sunday mornings I do take off. Walk Zen. And then just come home and record the podcast. Like, I just enjoy doing it Sunday morning. But lately, I've been kind of finishing them later in the week, and I get done, send it to my boy Nico, and you know, now it's Thursday, it goes out Friday, I'm like taking a rest, and all of a sudden it's like Saturday going, dude, you gotta, you know, get ready for your next podcast. I'm like, well, I don't have any, taken really any notes because I just finished the last one. So there's this little bit of me going, you know, just get back on track, just Sunday morning, just get up and record. Because I remember, like, in the past, I would just sit down and go, okay, what am I going to talk about? Like, I didn't really take notes. I was just like, you know, how long can I talk for? And, you know, I got more organized. So now I kind of depend on those notes. So there's just kind of this, not a funk, not at all a funk, but I haven't got my car back yet. So it kind of a little bit of a hum in the background. Like, I'm pretty positive there's nothing wrong. I'm pretty positive it's just taking time. And end of the day, if I get it back and it's fixed and it's free, I had a rental car, so it's no big deal. But it's still that, just, you know, when am I going to get it back? Is everything going right? You know, is everything kind of cool? You know, just like you said, just making that little hum in the back. And then I don't like really want to drive the rental car a whole lot, because I feel like he gave it to me, you know, to use if I need it. And it's like, well, if I drive an hour to the beach back and forth, I don't really need to do that. So it's been kind of over a week now, a week and a half, that I haven't gone to the beach, which is not a bad thing at all. But it just makes this kind of restlessness a little bit, I kind of felt. So I got up this morning, and that was kind of, you know, it was a walk in Zen. Going, okay, you know, do the podcast, you know, what are you going to do? Are you going to be able to record it? Do you have enough to record? Are you going to go to the beach? When's the car? Just kind of a little bit of that noise in the background. So I said to myself, I didn't even say it to myself, but this is a moment where I was like, okay, this is your day. Because it's like a wide open day. It's super quiet. You know, just that, oh, you can get anything done. It's not hot. Great weather, you know, it's really been, you know, pretty dope with like the external things. And there's this moment where I looked at Zen and he was looking at me like, hey, what's up? And I'm like, wait a minute, because we have like rituals all day long, like both creatures of habit. You know, we do the walk run, we come home, he waits outside, I come in, you know, put whatever I need to put away. And I get him a treat and either eats it outside or in the house. And we did that. And then I, you know, took him, I got him these, what are they called, bully sticks. And they take a little bit to eat. So it's like perfect. Takes them a while. So I'm, you know, kind of getting ready for the podcast. Ate something, you know, it's all kind of set and ready. But still just that little noise in the background. What am I going to do today? You know, just kind of hear it playing in the background. So Zen gets done, and typically after that is when he'll kind of take a nap. It's like he's sleeping next to me. I record the podcast. I'm, I guess, basically waiting for that moment. And I was in the kitchen, and I come walking out, and he's like looking at me all like bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. And I'm like, what's up? And I'm like, you want to? And it's so funny. Like, I don't have a big place, but there's an area where we chill, and then an area where I train people. I stretch, and if nothing's going on, I have my little table set up. So that's where his toys are. That's where he, you know, we play, and he chews on his toys, but he will only do it when I'm next to him. It's the craziest thing. So he's sitting there, and I'm like, you know, what do you want? What do you want? You know, you just had your treat. I know you're not hungry. We were just outside, you know, trying to figure out. And I'm like, you want to play? He jumps up, and he gets all excited. Like, yeah, I've been waiting all morning. I'm like, out of nowhere. Because, again, he's normally napping at this point. So I'm like, fine. And I grab the foam roller, basically I foam roller, and he starts playing with the toy, and I'll tug a war a little bit, and then he'll just grab it by himself and chew it. But if I get up and walk to the kitchen, he stops chewing. If I get up and walk to the bathroom, stops chewing. If I get up and walk to my desk, which is just around the couch, 10 feet, he'll just get up and come walk around. Oh, I guess we're done now. And I'm like, you can go over there. And like maybe a handful of times in the 4.5 years I've had him, he's gone over there and chewed on a toy by himself. But the magician just wants, you know, me next to him. So I'm like, fine. And I, right then, it was kind of like this relief going, oh, I'm not going to think anymore. And it's just constantly, and this is kind of going to be the title, but it's a tad redundant, but stay in the moment. And I was like, okay, what right now? I mean, I know I want to record a podcast. I kind of want to go to the beach. I kind of don't want to go to the beach. I'm wondering about my, you know, blah, 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 just a little chatter. And I'm like, what does Zen want to do? And it was simultaneous switch. All my attention and focus went to him. And I actually just had this little chuckle out loud. I was like, there we go. Like, fix that. And in my head, I said, here's my day. Well, someone was there. Like, well, what? What have you figured out? What are your plans on? I go, this. Well, what do you mean? I'm going to play with Zen. Yeah, okay, but, you know, how long and then what? No idea. Haven't got that yet. And I go, see, that's the power of it. Again, I was not bummed out, not in a bad mood, not struggling at all. Just trying to identify, you know, the noise, what it was, let it go. Because when I think it's like, oh, I haven't got my car back, and what if, it's like, okay, shh. You're going to get your car back, and it's fine, and it's fixed, and it's free. Meanwhile, you had a rental car. Shut up. Oh, yeah, you're right. And poof, it's gone. It's like, well, what do you want to do today? What do you want to drive to the beach? You want to hang out? You know, you want to start this next project? I'll kind of get to that. Or do you want to, and it was just this back and forth. And that's the part I kind of hate, that little chatter, the answer, the question, the new answer, the back. And I'm like, just, I don't want that. I really don't care what I do today. I could sit here all day. If for some reason Zen was like, dude, I'm just tired. I really don't want to do anything today. I'm like, all right. I really would be fine with that. And again, being where I am, I'm okay with everything. Don't mind what happens. But as soon as my focus switched to Zen, it was like this friendly reminder. Oh, yeah, remember staying in the moment. You don't care about a minute ago. You don't care about a minute from now. And I'm like, and I knew, well, when I'm, you know, when he's done tugging Warren, I'm going to foam roller. So he'll keep chewing on his toy. And that's exactly what happened. Then ended up taking some cute pictures of him. And I was like laughing. And I made this little video and I smiled and I'm like, you know, kind of like it wasn't, again, it wasn't this huge noise. It was, you know, the canoe was not rocking, but it's so quiet and it's so content that I can hear the murmur. And I don't go, ah, there's a murmur. I go, oh, wow, there's a murmur. I wonder if I should identify and relocate that, basically. And that's all was just on my mind. And it was like, you know, should I do this or should I do this? Should I start the podcast? Well, when should I? You know, should I go to that beach? Or, and then I was like, stop. Zen, hey. And it's super dope to have the correct tool. What's the correct tool? A dog. Because if your teacher, your master, your best friend is a dog who lives in the moment. I mean, I just, rubs off on me, you know, through osmosis, wanting to be like my dog. And again, there it was. And basically, he finally tired out, walked around. I, you know, can't remember what I did, but I walked over and my dry erase board was basically white with no notes. And I had one sticky note and I had one thing I was going to read. And was it probably, well, it's been a bit, it's been a few minutes, but I basically got the whole dry erase board filled up with just thoughts that were in my head that came out while I sat down. I was like, well, fantastic. So although it's a tad redundant, I think I'm going to go with the title, Stay in the Moment. Because that's what I did to really begin and record this episode. So I think the title fits, you know, being present, staying in the moment, somewhat repetitive. But it's my podcast and I'll do what I wanna, I'll do what I wanna. Okay, so first thing I'm going to do, move this out of my way. So I'm going to read. I want to read a bit. All right, this is from my new best friend, the Buddha Groove. Real power. During the countryside wars, a general swept from town to town, conquering each place with ease. In one particular town, the general discovered that everyone had fled just before his army arrived. Everyone except the Zen master. Dun, 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 dun. Of course, when I saw Zen Master, I said, oh, let me keep reading. Curious about what sort of man this was, the general visited the temple himself. Inside, the Zen Master remained still and refused to bow or even move out of the general's way. When it was clear the Zen Master would not defer to the general's power, he became furious. Fool, he shouted as he drew his weapon. Don't you see you are standing before a man who would run through you without blinking an eye? The Zen Master responded with absolute calm. Get ready for this response. You better be sitting down. And don't you see that you are standing before a man who could be run through without blinking an eye? How dope is that? Humbled by the Zen master's resolve, the general regrouped his forces and returned from where they had come. This Zen story illustrates the illusions of power and control in life. Despite possessing an army and a superior weapon, the general defers to the monk, whose weapons originated from within. We can see this in our own lives every single day. Any bully can use words and threats and even violence to appear powerful, but it takes real strength to remain calm and practice nonviolence. The strongest weapon is always your mind. But I love that line. And don't you see that you are standing before a man who could be run through without blinking an eye? I just got goosebumps. All right, so I was looking for the something about staying present. And I found a blog site by Jack Canfield. And Jack Canfield is the dude who came up with soup for the, what is it? I just had it. Whatever that soup thing was. Really popular. Soup for the mind, soup for the soul. Something like that. Very, very successful guy. I was like, wow. When I hear people like that, like it gave a little bio and I'm like, wow, that dude's done a lot in his life. Far too often, people are stuck waiting for future happiness rather than staying in the present moment and enjoying the moment they find themselves in. The problem that life doesn't last forever, and one of these days, people are going to look back and realize they spent their whole lives looking forward to the future rather than enjoying the moments they were given. If you would like to make the most of the present and enjoy every minute you are given to its fullest, consider these following tips. Number one, make a commitment to remain present. Remaining in the present moment is going to require a degree of effort and commitment. Start by spending a few moments each morning reminding yourself that you need to enjoy the day for what it is and make the most of it. Two, develop a system. Next, you may want to develop a system for reminding yourself to remain present. This could include things such as setting a reminder on your phone to bring you back to the present moment, or setting aside a block of time each day that you focus only on what the present has to offer. Three, become aware of your body. Part of remaining in the present moment entails becoming more in tune with the physical sensations that the present moment provides. Be aware of any pain, hunger, or other physical needs that may need to be addressed and take care of them. Progress through the sections of your body and listen to what your body is telling you that you need to pay attention to. Remember, there was a time when our present physical needs were the only thing a person had to worry about. It's a great line. If you focus on these needs more, you'll not only take better care of yourself, you'll also be more likely to remain in the present instead of focusing on the future. Four, remain conscious of your thoughts. Try to keep your thoughts positive and present focused. If you find yourself going down a negative train of thought or worrying about the future, shift your focus back to the positive thoughts about the here and now. Focus your mind on the present situation and take time each day to think about only what's going on right there in the moment. This is especially important if you are in the middle of a moment that should be enjoyable. If you are spending time with your friends, family, enjoying an afternoon outside, or doing any other pleasant activity, make an effort to keep your mind in the moment rather than thinking about what's ahead. Five, be aware of your surroundings. There's a lot going on around you, but if you don't take the time to stop and smell the roses, you might miss it. Pause and take a careful look at your surroundings. Then think carefully about what's going on. Are there people or animals around you? And if so, what are they doing? Is there any beautiful or interesting thing about your surroundings? Are there any observations you can make about what's going on around you? Far too often, we float through the days without ever stopping and looking at the world around us. However, it's an incredible, interesting world we live in if you'll just make the effort to pause and take it all in. Six, think about how much time you spend waiting on something. Whether it's short-term waiting, such as waiting for a bus, or long-term waiting, such as waiting on a promotion at work, people spend so much of their time looking forward to some future event. At first glance, waiting may seem like an inevitable part of human existence. However, wouldn't it be great if you could remove waiting and all the time it wastes from your life entirely? According to Eckhart Tolle, my boy, waiting is a state of mind more than it is a situation that we find ourselves in, meaning that you can control it. The next time you find yourself waiting for something, try not to think of yourself as waiting at all. Consider a person who is waiting for a bus to arrive. Now, if you were to ask this person what they were doing, most people would tell you that they're waiting for a bus. But what if instead their response was that they were sitting on a bench, enjoying the fresh air, and watching the events around them unfold? When the bus arrives, they'll get on it and carry about their lives. Until then, though, they are enjoying the present moment they find themselves in rather than spending the entire time staring at their watch. Imagine what a more pleasant time this person is having than they would have if they had a waiting mindset. A waiting mindset breeds impatience, and impatience breeds frustration. The reality is, though, that waiting is a choice. And rather than choosing to wait, you can choose to enjoy life's moments as they come instead. There you go. Now you have a map with directions on how to achieve staying in the moment. So, it was funny because there's just, you know, I'll read something that, you know, some really successful person wrote. I'm like, wow, I understand that verbiage, or I've used that verbiage, or, you know, hey, I've said that before. I dig that stuff. But when you know, just that one word, within, you know, where is it coming from within? And I wrote this down as a note, you know, where does our strength come from? That kind of gets into the next thing in my tribe. But, you know, when I see people become the better versions of themselves, you know, it's like, well, where did that come from? Where did that strength come from? You know, it's overcoming obstacles, and it's, you know, being consistent and esteeming yourself worthy. But that strength really does come from within. Like who I am at 55 and how I feel. It wasn't like anything externally brought me to that place. It was more about just going within. But you can't go within when you have all that noise. And you have a big white voice. A big, you know, white noise in your head. You know, you're not in control of the space between your ears. So when you get rid of that noise, when you get rid of that voice, and you accept the quiet, you embrace the quiet, then you understand that that's where the knowledge and the power and the strength comes from, you know, pausing, reflecting, and discovering who you are. Well, again, that's a muscle. It gets better, it gets stronger, and then you start going, wow, I don't need those people. I am good. Well, there's your strength. So it really, really does come from within. And to me, that's kind of like great news, because if you're sitting there going, I don't have money, or I don't want to go see a therapist, or I don't, you know, it's like you don't really have to do a whole lot except stop, pause, reflect, and go within. But everything you need to become the better you lies within, easily stated, harder to apply, thus deem yourself worthy. So my tribe, that's something I've been thinking about lately. The people that I speak to, and it would mainly be clients and people I mentor. You know, there's not a ton of people that I talk to. So they are friends. They are family. They're the people that I engage with. I participate in their life. They participate in mine. I'm thankful for them. They're thankful for me. That's family. That's friends right now. But they're all really doing well. And it was kind of that thing where, you know, a couple in specific, you know, they demonstrate such strength. And I've spoken about Dan the engineer a few times, but this last session, it was just like, you know, all he's doing is proving me right. I mean, out the gate, I was like, wow, how come this guy can't see all his good? And I'm like, okay, I'm super thankful that I can, and I'm super thankful that he's come to me. And he trusts me, and, you know, he respects me, and he doesn't take me for granted. So when I tell him something, he believes it. I give him homework, he does it. But watching him process that, it's kind of been awe-inspiring. I mean, it's exactly who I think he should be. It's exactly who I told him I wanted him to be. But doing it. And at the rate he's doing it, I'm humbled by it. You know, I'm honored to be a part of it. But I was just like, wow, look at this. Like, you know, once you get it, hey, I feel better, look out. Wow, I don't need that. I need this. I can do that. I don't care about that. I can control this. I can't control that. Separation is real. Boom. Man, it's like kind of just get out of their way. And it's, again, it's just this is thankfulness that I get to just sit here and experience these stories with real people that I care about, that care about me, that are all getting better every day in lieu of what's going on in the world around us. And it was this feeling I had the night before. I was like, okay, you know, let me just check my calendar Saturday and did it. And I was like, the first one was Dan, and there was just this feeling. I was like, oh, Dan, I can't wait. You know, like chemically, I felt better. You know, it's like my body had kind of changed chemically. And I was like, and I noted that going, I thought of this guy, talking to this guy, and a feeling better than I had came over. And that's pretty hard to do these days because I really feel good. I'm sitting here zen. I'm good. I'm not dwelling. I'm not bumming, not thinking about yesterday, not thinking about tomorrow. I'm just really thankful, being in the moment, being present. And also, no, it's just for a moment. Let me just look at my schedule. Hey, and the fact that I thought about someone and it just brought me that much joy. I was like, this is what I get to do. And there's whole thing about where I was like, you know, I don't need anything else. Nothing else needed. Like, I care about X amount of people. So therefore, I like helping those people. That's what I like to do. I like to affect people. And I now have, you know, complete knowledge. I'm highly aware that I have the ability to positively affect these people by basically just being me. And I'm like, wow. I'm like, how dope is that, that I get to help these people that I would want to help, that I, you know, feel close to, that I feel connected to. So, you know, again, just being present makes me realize this at a grand scale. And then I was sitting talking to a client online, and this popped into my head. I was like, you know, you're on, you know, for 50 minutes, almost an hour. You know, sometimes the online clients or the mentoring sessions are like 30 minutes. But if you're not, I mean, it's kind of that thing about working from home, you know, oh, there's my dog and there's my kids and there's TV and there's snacks and it's really hard for me to focus. And for some reason, I thought about that and the fact that it wasn't hard. Like, I just think I'm better now because I'm like, okay, every client's online when I train them. I'm not there to spot them. I'm not there to hand them weights. I got to watch the every move. And it's like, you'd be like, okay, just do that thing. Grab those weights, lift that thing, count to 10. I could just watch Zen. I mean, the opportunity to just not focus is just a lot bigger. Like when you're there, you're in someone's house, you know, you're not going to just all of a sudden like lay down and put your feet up or look out the window and, you know, whatever. But when you're online and someone's doing an exercise and they're focused, I could get up and go to the bathroom and come back and they wouldn't even know it. So again, the opportunity to become distracted or to become less focused, it was, you know, it just kind of hit me in this moment because I am more focused. And I thought, you know, who I was before, I got a really solid mental picture of just kind of always not being present because there was always a conversation going on. 90% of the time, if I was awake, there was some sort of conversation, chatter going on in the space between my ears. So I was never really, really present. And I would become easily distracted. So I just know now that, if, you know, if I was back in the day and I had people online, I'd just be losing clients. Because my ability now to stay connected, you know, I'm just sitting here, I'm not moving at all. And I don't like to sit and not move. But when I'm training people online, I can do that. I can just sit there and go, okay, you know, I'm making up exercises and, you know, I got people listening to their bodies and then together they and I are, okay, well, let's add this move. And I got clients going, well, what if I added this to it? And I'm like, oh my God, that's so, you know, like with Mosier and I, we call it the lab. We're just like creating all this stuff. And I'm like, how dope is this? And I go, I don't have to drive. I don't have to get gas. I don't have to be away from Zen. And I'm enjoying these sessions more. And I'm focusing more. Why? I have a greater ability to stay in the moment. I'm like, just again, that muscle, whatever that muscle is, it gets stronger. And you become aware of it. And yeah, I'm thinking you're going to like a stronger muscle over a weaker muscle 7 days out of the week. Twice on Sunday. So, stoked about my tribe. I mean, everybody you talk to makes you feel good. because they're feeling good. And again, this is in lieu of what's going on in the world. There are a bunch of people, like, I can't even guess how many thousands, that are struggling. Either being sick, knowing someone who's sick, being out of work, you know, just any of that stuff right now. So the fact that my small world includes my tribe that I've collected with my new vibe, best they've ever been. Again, not all having perfect days, but best they've ever been. Best perspective, more aware, more clarity. It's dope to feel, you know, connected with people like that. So people are bringing you down, people who are negative or victims. You know, I just can't associate with those people anymore. So one thing is weird. One thing, there's more than that. But when I was at Ultra Body, this is probably like 3 to 4 years ago, but there was this period where when I would walk by these homeless people, I was just like, wow, you know, I just want to be thankful about them. And, you know, just kind of look at them and going, you know, how are they sleeping on this side? And I remember saying this, going, if someone said, Tom, here's $10,000, you just got to fall asleep on the sidewalk overnight. I'd be like, I promise you I can't. There's just no way that I could lay on the cement on a piece of cardboard and fall asleep on a city street. Like, I was like, why aren't they in a park? Why aren't they in the grass somewhere? Like I don't, I think I never understood it. And it just kind of stayed with me, like, okay, be thankful. And in Hollywood, you know, there's plenty of homeless. And to me, it seems like it's, you know, getting worse. And just this morning, I had that thought of, would I want to live somewhere where there's no homeless people? And I thought, not really, because it's kind of like that, oh, you know, like the rich people, we'll just create an area where there's no poverty, where there's no, you know, homelessness, where there's no, and we can just live in this bubble and we can just enjoy what we have. You know, I'm not into that for whatever reason. I just don't like that inequality thing. So to me, it keeps me grounded and it keeps me thankful to see homeless. So it's not like I want to live around homeless people or I want people to be homeless. I mean, obviously not. But like I said, if I just had a bunch of money, I'm like, oh, I could just move to an area where there is no homeless people. I don't even know where that really is. I think there's homeless people everywhere, but where they weren't in your neighborhood. You didn't walk your dog and, you know, around the block and you didn't see homeless people. But to me, again, it's always kept me humbled going, you know, there's a bunch of them, you know, just how did they get there? How did so many people become homeless? So it kind of like stuck with me. And I remember this thing where it was just, I never really let it go. And then moving here, when I felt better, I started, you know, seeing them all and being thankful. But I was captivated in a way, like, how do you survive? I mean, every day you get up going, I have to find food. I have to get water. I mean, I wake up 3 times a night to go to the bathroom. I'm like, they don't, like, they just, like, I'm like, what? Every part, like, oh, I need a Q-tip. Oh, I need a Kleenex. Oh, I need some Neosporin. Oh, I need a sip of water. Oh, whatever the little things are that I wake up for in the middle of the night. Or need during the day. Like, I'm like, I could just not be homeless. I don't even know how you know, it's like, to me, it's a survivalist living out in the woods with a tent and hunting and, you know, like, there's, I'm like, wow, okay, that impresses me. But then the home, same thing. I mean, I'm assuming some have, you know, money and they can buy food or they collect unemployment, but I mean, you know, having a tent and, you know, a bunch of dirty clothes in it, and that's kind of it. I'm like, well, I survive because I have all this stuff, and I've reduced, I've downsized. You know, I've got the smallest place and less stuff I've ever had, but a lot of this stuff, like, I need all this stuff. So it kind of, I, you know, wrote notes before about the homeless, and I'm like, I am just, and it's weird, captivated, or I want to say intrigued. I don't know what the word is, but this happened the other day, and this is when I'm like, okay, I'm gonna share this. My kitchen's not big, but I mean, there are a bunch of, you know, if I am cooking or getting Zen's food ready or doing dishes or whatever, and it's got the nice view, just looking out, you know, the view of east, you know, looking east, and, you know, so when the sun comes up or whatever, but I just end up in that window a lot. And I got that little hard massage ball. That's where I put it because I'm always standing there. So I'm like, you know, let me put that massage ball in there. So I'll just go in there and stand for 5 minutes putting that ball under each foot. But Thursday is trash day and recycle day. So everybody puts out their garbage cans. And I was sitting in the window. And this homeless person comes up. And they start digging through. Like, typically people are like, oh, you're going through recycles, you're getting, you know, so you can get the recycles, you're going through recycling bins, so you can make money. Or people are, you know, hungry and they're looking for food. That's kind of what's in my mind. And I sat here way longer than I thought was normal, watching this person dig through each bag of garbage in each trash bin, and he'd take the top bag out and move it to another trash bin so he could get lower so he could peel the bottom ones out. He bent over, ripping open each bag and digging through it, and you can just, I mean, I can't see specifically, but taking this thing out, taking, I'm like, what is he or she, I couldn't even tell that. I'm like, what are they taking? Like, this is stuff that people threw away. And this person's spending like 20 minutes in one trash bin pulling. And I'm like, what are they finding? What are they, like, I'm going to, like, I can't believe all the stuff I'm finding. And then, you know, I would go check on that or go to the bathroom or whatever. And then, you know, a few minutes later, I would kind of end up, you know, going back in the kitchen, just whatever, grab a drink or whatever. And they're still out there. And I would stop and step on the massage ball, and I would watch a little bit longer. Each bin, I mean, it was like, it seemed like 45 minutes. And I was like, okay, well, just the, I mean, I can't smell, so I could probably do that. But, you know, just with what's in the garbage, and whether you have a mask on or gloves, and I noticed at the end, you know, this person kept grabbing their mask with their gloves, and I'm like, okay, you're digging through the garbage with these gloves, and then with the gloves you're reaching up and you're adjusting your mask, so it's like everything that's on your gloves is going onto that mask. And then at the end, kind of gone through the garbage bins and takes off their gloves and still had all the stuff laying on the ground. They start going through that stuff and putting some of the stuff back in like they're going to do the second phase of their shopping or whatever. But I'm like, oh, again, obviously people are wearing masks because of the corona thing. So it's like, you know, you're kind of risking that. But it's like you're digging through garbage, you know. What I think of what I put in the, you know, because I have recycle and then I have garbage. Like the recycle stuff's clean. It's just plastic and glass and, you know, but it's clean. It's not like dirty stuff. But then the garbage, I mean, that's everything yucky that I threw out and it's in a bag. And I'm thinking, okay, that's what's in those garbage bins. And people are just digging through that thoroughly, pulling out stuff. And I have no idea why I am in such an awe of that. Like, I don't know if I can't figure it out or what it is. But I know deep down inside there's a huge part of me that's like, I don't ever want to be homeless. Like that, I don't even know if I could make it. And maybe that's, you know, maybe deep down like this fear that keeps me going because I don't want to be homeless because I see it all the time. I don't know. But I just thought I would share it because it definitely has an impact on me. You know, again, I just think every day there's something, you know, because again, I walk Zen 3-4 times a day, every day for 4.5 years around here, you know. So it's like every day you see it, and you see it growing, or you walk by them, and, you know, and they just, some just really blow it up. I mean, they got a tent, and then they get these long, huge strips of some sort of like, like you'd cover a house if the roof was leaking. The tarp, there's the word. These huge tarps that will like fit 2 tents under them. And they string the tarp and they connect it to the fence so they block off like the whole entire sidewalk. And it's like on Sunset Boulevard, people throwing up these, you know, 8-person tents. And I'm like, how do you, this is Sunset Boulevard, you know, it's like you can just put up a tent on Sunset Boulevard, you can hang. And I don't know what's going on with the coronavirus, but it just seems like more and more they would kind of come in, shake these people up, make a move, and they'd kind of come back, but it kind of kept it a little cleaner, and it wouldn't grow so much into these, you know, bicycle shop, just monster kind of dump-looking places where there's like 3-4 tarps, and it's like, you know, 100 feet long, and it's like, what is all in there? And just collecting stuff. Just, you know, and you can just see it when you walk by, just more and more and more. So again, I guess just in my face, and but it doesn't bum me out. Like I said, I look at it, it confuses me, it intrigues me, I wonder how, I'm curious, but I'm thankful more than anything that I'm not. And that's kind of it. But it does keep me tethered, like, you know, I don't want to live around these people, and I don't want to live around those people, and I don't want anything bad to happen. It's like, yeah, I'm not that person. I don't want to, you know, be privileged where I can just ignore everything that's bad and live there. Like, that's, you know, if I had a cabin or if I could live somewhere, I mean, I would. You know what I mean? I like that, going where it's peaceful. And but, I mean, as far as, like, living, I wouldn't want to be out in the middle of nowhere anyways. It's like, you know, I gotta eat. I'm not hunting and killing my own food. So, I had one note from Scotty McCotty. And it was basically a phrase. He said, do you ever hear the term catch and release? And I said, yeah, fishing. And he said, yeah, that's what I'm doing with my thoughts. And I was like, you know, I knew right away what he said. And I'm like, you know, I kind of do that. It's like you kind of go, oh, hey, Tom, you're thinking about that. Oh, see, you do that when you get bored or when you, all right, well, just kick it out now. So there's catching you going, oh, I'm identifying, I'm having this thought. You know, it's probably not a good thought. It's probably not serving me, probably not something I can't control. Let me release it. And I love that. Like, again, when I'm talking to clients, they come up with maybe something I've said, but they're using it now as their own verbiage. Or like Scotty, you know, reading different things and coming up with different terms. It's like people building their tool chest, their tool. Like, oh, this resonated with me. I'm going to remember that. I'm going to use that. The way this person said it really hit home with me. And I love that stuff as well. I had a client. And this is kind of a cool story. A woman I've been with for a long time, Madeline. And she was furloughed a while back. And, you know, initially, to have never expected it, never even considered it being a possibility, you're going to get thrown. So we talked right away. And she got to a better place right away. But during it, there were lots of things that were kind of happening. It was like, well, what can't you control? A whole bunch of stuff. What can you control? Well, a bunch of stuff. And I kind of ended up saying this to her. I said, whether you get your job back or not, or whether you decide not to go back and pursue something else, she's an amazing artist. I said, there's just things that you can do right now that make you the better you. So if you go back to work and you're the best you, yay. If you don't go back to work and you're the best you, yay. if you decide to pursue art and you're the best you, yay. If you decide not to pursue art or anything else and you're the best you, yay. Well, she hit kind of a moment where the water around the Zen pond was starting to rock her canoe. So we chatted. And it was just the same thing. Are you doing the pro you list? Come up with those three or four things that you need to do every day, six days a week, just to ensure that you're the best you. Because when you're not doing those, boom, there's the thing. That's what your problem is. Do those things. That's what you can control. But when you're not the best you. You're not feeling the best. You're not seeing things clearly. You're not 100% controlling the space between your ears. So therefore, stuff can come in. And I kind of caught her in a moment where I was like, whoa, what happened? We were, like, there was backpedaling happening along her pro-you path. And we chatted and kind of resolved it all. And she was super fabulous. And we got off. And the next day I got a message. Or 2 days later. And work called her back. Just like that. Any thoughts, concerns, doubts, fears. Any other things that she was thinking about were immediately gone. And I texted her. And I was like, you know, that's just my point. We really aren't in control of that much stuff. Externally, but we're so just, I mean, completely blessed with this long list of things we can control. What goes in your mouth? Do you or do you not move? What thoughts do you allow in your head? Who do you hang out with? Who do you share your energy with? Where do you go mentally, emotionally, physically? Spiritually, all that stuff, you get to control. All of that stuff will make you a better you. So if you get bad news, do you want to be a bad version of you and get bad news? Or do you want to be the best version of you so you can handle, deal, cope, overcome? I mean, you know, you're the best you. You get bad news, you're like, okay, now I got to do this. Next indicated step. I don't really have to think about it. I got it. Does it feel good? No. No one likes bad news, but I got it. I'm in a great place, so I know how to respond. I know the second step. I know the next indicated step. So I'm going to do that instead of just sitting here wallowing in my feelings because I didn't plan that. I mean, to me, that's just an obvious choice. I'm talking to people, I'm like, you know, I literally in my head is going 2 and 2 is 4. Not a lot of gray area of that equation. 2, 2 is 4. That's kind of it. I don't really need to chat about it. I don't really need anybody to argue with me about that. So I'm talking to people, I'm like, look, 2 and 2 is 4. I mean, it's how I see everything I say to people. And by the end, they're like, yeah. So Madeline understood fully what she was kind of allowing to continue in our conversation. And 72 hours later, boom. Now she, it was just, and she even said, she texted me and it was like, yeah, I look at my life different now. Just because of that, hey, what should I, oh, I'm going back to work. Poof. Just like this big, you know, life just grabs you and rattles you and throws you or picks you up and just puts you back on the escalator of life. And it's like, all right, keep walking. You're like, well, I it's like, doesn't matter. The waves continue to come in. The sun continues to rise. And with or without you, tomorrow will happen. It's probably way after the fact, but there's a crazy storm going on out east, and all these people are out of power. And so I shouted out to my favorite family, the Morrisons. I'm like, were you affected by the storm? And they said, yeah, no power for 4 days. And that was yesterday. I was like, wow. I don't like that no power thing, because it typically is in the summer when everybody's using their AC, so the power goes out and you're really, really, really hot, and then, you know, refrigerator and food and all that stuff can go bad, and, you know, just, I sit here with no power. I'm like, well, I'll just, like, oh, that's electricity. I go, well, I'll just, I'm like, I'll go to like two or three things thinking, oh yeah, I'll just do that. I'm like, you know, there's, you can't do any of that. But I've never, I mean, I think 36 hours, probably the longest I've gone without power. And I'm like, wow, 2 days, that would be a real struggle. So four, and again, it's humid. It's not humid in California, and it's been really hot out east. And it has not been hot here. I mean, it's like the coolest July ever. I turned on my AC, I think, one day, and now it's August whatever, and I still haven't had my AC on. So just felt bad for them when I heard that news, so. Hoping everything's back on and we resume our class on Monday. But just wanted to shout out to the Morrison clan. And last two notes I have. Kind of I mentioned this before, but, you know, like that, the weather. You know, just blessed to be here. And there's people out of work and there's business closing. And there's a big, you know, with the school, kids going back and teachers not wanting to go back and parents wanting their kids to go back so they can work because they have to. And other parents and teachers not wanting to go back because they don't want to get sick. And it's just like there's a bunch of bad out there. And the fact that I'm not affected by that, I am highly aware of. And there's this quote, my favorite quote in a long time. Got a picture of this old dude. Looks to be like he's lighting some sort of funny cigarette. He's got like these funky glasses, this funky mustache, this funky hat. He's basically bald. He's got an earring on. So it's just a weird looking old dude. But the quote was just amazing to me. When the entire planet is going through a collective dark night of the soul, but you've already had several. And I just picture this old dude lighting a funny cigarette. And I thought, well, yeah, it was kind of it. Like, I'm not jumping up and down that the coronavirus is here. Obviously, I'm feeling what, you know, people are going through and I have empathy for them. But it's like, yeah, I've been through bad. I'm not experiencing this bad, you know, with everybody, but I've been through bad. I mean, a lot of bad. And the world didn't stop. The world didn't cuddle me, and people didn't come running. It's like I got through it all. So it's like, to me, there's like this armor that I built, and I've always used that. You know, every battle, you build armor. What's that armor for? The next inevitable battle, the next inevitable war. And I'm like, I got this armor. I'm 55. I've been through a lot of bad shit. And I'm like, I feel pretty good where I am. I'm like, well, this thing's happening. I'm like, yeah, well, what I've learned through time, effort, working on myself, is that I'm going to focus on what I can control and really not put any time and energy into that which I can't control. And that's what separates me from kind of getting involved. Like if you talk to someone like, oh, you know, I'm like, what? Well, it's just, their feet. I'm like, well, what's it doing to you? You know, I'm training you in your house. You're healthy, four limbs above ground, have shelter, have food, have clean water, have money. Like, it's like you don't have real bad. So you're thinking, well, what bad out there can I think about? Choice. That's a choice that I don't do anymore. Like, I, you know, was feeling really good when I started the podcast because I was like, I have a message. If you're thankful and mindful, you can heal. You can heal. Like being thankful and being mindful can heal someone. I had a message. I started it. And I just was like, well, now I'm thankful. And I just realized I wasn't ever asking anything when I prayed. I just gave thanks. And I started the, you know, gratitude list and a pro-you list and then being thankful 10 times a day, 20 times a day, 30 times a day for those four amazing blessings that I have. my faith, my health, Zen's health, and right now. And I added that right now 2 years ago, and now I'm talking about staying present, staying in the moment. And I'm just thankful, and I got started going, you know, I'm thankful for things I'm not going through. And again, the homeless thing, I was like, I'm so thankful I don't have to sleep on cardboard in a box in a tent outside on the cement. I'm so thankful I don't have to lay down on the cement and try to fall asleep and get up the next morning wondering where I'm going to eat or how am I going to get food. I'm so thankful for that. So I got in the habit of not just being thankful for what I had, but being thankful for what I didn't have, what I wasn't going through. And that's how I feel now. Like, I'm in a great mood. Well, Tom, how can you be in a great mood when all these people are doing bad? Because I'm thankful I'm not. I'm not in a good mood because people are suffering. I'm in a good mood because I'm thankful I'm not. Like, just being able to pay my bills and not go into my retirement, that stopped in April. I've been doing that for almost 2 years. Again, I'm not happy for the pandemic, but I am thankful I got those clients. I got those clients because of the pandemic shut down gyms. Not thankful the pandemic is here. Not thankful the pandemic shut down gyms. I'm thankful for what I got because of those things that happened. Be thankful in all circumstances. I got that down. And this is the last thing. I'll chat about this more, but it just came to my attention because I'm not really good with, you know, numbers and dates. But I knew we were right around the 15-year mark with training Hardwick and officially coming September, this September. So it's August. I just wrote it down. I'm like, training Hardwick for 15 years. I mean, it's just been a cool thing. I mean, he's the best he's ever been. I'm the best I've ever been, but, you know, I can think of three people that have been in my life for 15 years or longer, and he's one of them, you know, and just being his trainer has been a great experience, but he's also the dude that greenlit this podcast, which 5.5 years later, you know, it's one of my favorite things in the world, and I owe him that. So just a big shout-out thank you to CH, and I'll say more when the time comes around, but I just wanted to mention that because it was on my mind. So if you are listening, thank you. You know, I kind of consider everybody who listens part of my tribe. But the people that I see interact with, my tribe that I have collected over the last few years, thank you. You know, just like I meet with a client, a mentoree, a friend, and I know they will see what I see by the end of our conversation. And that completely fills me up. And that's why I don't need anything. Like, I have my health, Zen's health. I have my faith. I'm so thankful right now. But I get online. I train someone. I get off. I make money. I know I made them happy. And then I'm quiet. And the space between my ears is content. Anyone wants to chat, this would be a good time. I really do believe that I'm in a great place, and I can't remember the last time I sat down in front of someone and didn't know what to say, didn't think I could make them feel better, and didn't have a direct impact on them in that moment. So I hope you are deeming yourself worthy every day, a little bit more every day, doing those little things consistently, being thankful, staying mindful, gaining that perspective and that clarity. So you too can be so thankful that whether it's being present or it's staying in the moment, you just do it because that's what you do and that's how you do it. And once you've gained the insight, the benefit, trust me, you'll never, ever, ever go back. You are worth it. to your pro-you moment. Glad you're here. Let's begin to control that which we can. Let's sit on the floor. Eyes closed, neutral neck, shoulders over the hips, navel tucked into the side. Draw that inhale through the nose, slow it down, elongate it, control it because you can. Allow the exhale out the mouth, slow it down, elongate it because you can. That will be the rhythm, that will be the focus. That will be what occupies the space between your ears. Anything else enters calmly, quietly. Ask it to leave. Return to your breath. Do this to the best of your ability. For 180 seconds, I will let you know when time is up. You may begin now. Well done. Little things done consistently. It came up a couple times this week. And it's pretty hard not to think about that with the pro-you moment. No matter what you think of that 180 seconds, it's only 180 seconds. The entire pro-you moment. 6-7 minutes. It's a little thing, but done consistently, that's where the power lies. And it was just almost natural, almost an organic thing to go, hey, that noise. noise in your head. Let's quiet that. Let's stay in the moment. Poof. And it just happened. And to experience that once is dope. And to do it a couple times in a row is amazing. But when you start realizing that that's in your control and it's a muscle that will get stronger, and by default, that's what starts happening along your path. I mean, I used to wake up with kind of a weight on my chest. And I'm like, and now I wake up, and if I feel anything out of the ordinary, anything I don't wish to feel or experience, I just ask it to leave. I substitute it with another thought. I change, shift my perspective. And it's not a bunch of effort at this point. And it's definitely cool when you're talking to other people. They get it. And they're like, you know, I'm starting to feel better. I'm starting to climb that pro-you tree. I'm walking that pro-you path of self-discovery. I'm deeming myself worthy. You can hear it. And yes, it can happen in lieu of everything that else that's going on in the world today. That's the beauty of it. Just remember, you begin with being thankful in all circumstances, not for all circumstances, just in. Every day, be thankful. There's always one thing, at least one thing to be thankful for. And if you struggle doing that, then that's the squeaky wheel. Work on that. That will become the muscle. That will become the way. And you will find your truth. Peace and God bless.